Today is no stranger.
So, is she there? Yeah, she's there. All right. Anyway, let's give Donna a big welcome back. Can we do that? Donna Chapman.
Thank you very much. It is good to be with you today. And I thought, well, I'll be up here so that I can see all your faces. And thank you for inviting me back. Well, I looked at the scripture for today that I'm bringing to you, and it seems to me that sometimes the very scriptures that inspire us can also unsettle us. If we're honest with ourselves and with God, and sometimes because we're afraid to be truthful, we bury our irritation. We let it hide away and say to ourselves, let's not go there. We let the thoughts that of a piece of scripture that troubles us, we let it drop instead of truly studying or grappling with the passage. We sometimes gloss over the hard parts and ignore the bits that our lived experience might question. Or sometimes we just give a cursory nod to God's word without really tackling whether it's true in our lives. I wonder if you even, or we even remember the scripture we just read. I say all this because Paul's words in 2 Corinthians has sometimes rankled me as much as it has stirred me to greater spiritual resilience. Let me read this out again to you and then add a few different translations. I'm reading from the New Revised. So we do not lose heart, even though our outward nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For our slight momentary affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For the things that can be seen are temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. Now, don't get me wrong, I believe we can be inspired by words like this, especially, you know, we do not lose heart. And yeah, the things that cannot be seen are eternal. But to believe truly that our afflictions are slight and momentary, sometimes I don't think I can buy that. It is made increasingly challenged when I look at how others have translated this passage. Like Eugene Peterson, he translated this as our afflictions are Eugene Peterson translated our momentary afflictions as this, as small potatoes. Small potatoes. And J.B. Phillips, in his translation, phrases it as little troubles, small potatoes. That is the title of this sermon. Now, some of you know that I have spent 37 years in ministry, and 9 of those years have been in hospital ministry. Can you imagine me saying, as a chaplain, as a spiritual care practitioner, saying to someone with stage 4 cancer, with painful blisters all over their body from the failure of her lymph system, that her pain is small potatoes? Or tell a man who had a stroke while undergoing heart surgery repairs that his paralysis and kidney failure is a little trouble. I don't think so. Yet this scripture passage might be read to them as if it might encourage them as a Christian. Or worse, it could be used to scold them into faith. Can you imagine? Don't worry, these are little things, no small potatoes. Well, I ask you, what are you going through right now? Anything tough? Anything chronic that has dogged you most of this year or 4 years? Is it financial? Is it health? Is it estranged relationships? Is it bullies in the schoolyard? Is it fears and anxieties? Is it depression that entangles your life and made many days impossible even to function? How then would you react if your neighbor, your family member, your Christian friend, who has not experienced much of anything that's long and hard or devastating, quoted words like slight and momentary, little and small potatoes to you? Would you like me, as a pastor, as a chaplain, to come to your despair and your distress and read this passage as comfort? Maybe, or maybe not. I guess what I'm trying to say is Paul's words maybe need to be absorbed, considered fully, and even wrestled down to the metaphoric mat. How can Paul make light of suffering? And yet, you know, Paul is not speaking from a place of ease or a life of comfort. He's lived out those words in terrible circumstances. Paul's life has been filled with awful things: beatings, imprisonment, desertion, shipwrecks, a death sentence. So I don't believe he's being glib or naive about afflictions, his or ours, when he spoke words like slight and momentary. He came to his faith understanding because of his own outward sufferings and lived experiences that then can speak into a God-filled life. I was noticing, maybe because I know what I was about to preach on, I was noticing some of the songs we were singing, and they are wonderfully inspiring, and yet I sometimes think that it's still hard to live out, especially in times of afflictions. And we don't know what will happen next, of how our life might be changed walking out this door today. But I think that it is wrestling with Scripture, of really saying, does this have meaning for me? How can this be? And taking moments like now to consider that, to build up the basics. You see, I think of it like this. I once owned a sailboat and I had to learn the basics. I needed to know how to switch hands behind my back on the tiller as I would come about. I needed to practice judging the winds and their direction. I even needed to know the little trick around the design flaw of my laser boat so I could scramble to take the line off the edge or I'd go over. I accumulated experience, acquired skills, and the growing confidence that was developed to sail. And then, when I encountered a real storm, I had the muscle memory and the trust to ride through the winds and the waves and get to the safety of the shore, Finding faith in my ability to sail came from practice, and truthfully, it came from prior difficulties and capsizing from ill-timed wind changes. I learned to be steadier in difficult circumstances because I had the basics down, or because, even more, I had those capsizing. And I was willing to learn that sailing was not just gentle breezes and clear skies. Our lives are not all gentle and calm, and I'm not going to bring words about small potatoes to your palliative bedside or to your darkest hour of emotional anguish. No, but I can be here in this moment to help you consider what will build your faith so that it can, your faith can grapple with the suffering and storms of life that you are facing, have faced, and will face. My hope is that we will all take a passage like this one from Paul's letter to the Corinthians and examine it, wrestle with its meaning and truth for our own lives, and not gloss over it or even sing through it. Suffering and storms bias, slander, hardship, illness, death. We can't always be prepared for it, yet we can build skills of trust and grow a wider perspective of who God is and who God isn't. And hold on to the tiller of life that is God, and let God guide us. Afflictions and suffering, never-ending hardships, how resilient is and will be our faith through it all. Sometimes faith is just gutting it out, surrendering, lamenting, holding on, or even letting go. Sometimes faith is crying out to God and asking, "Where are you?" And really meaning it, "Where are you?" Sometimes faith is, paradoxically, sharing our doubts, wrestling with what trust is and what hope looks like. And that kind of faith is not small potatoes, but it puts into perspective what life is and where God is in it. So let the afflictions renew and shape an inner faith, even as paradoxically it seems maybe that it breaks our faith, because it is long in our space and time. What good is faith only in prosperity and good health? Is that not the question the evil one asked of God about Job? Oh yeah, he can be faithful when he's got a wife and sons and daughters and wealth and health. And you know, when we falter and say things we face are never ending, and we are angry and disillusioned and just plain sad, even as Job was, God's love and grace will still surround us. Because I believe that faith is not necessarily sung out in choruses, and certainly not by reading scripture as just words. Our faith is a living, dynamic thing, ebbing and flowing, renewing and growing, changing and fluctuating, up and down. And I think that's what makes our inner nature renewed over and over again, even as our bodies grow old and have incurable chronic issues with knees and hips barely working, with finances that are diminishing. Even as our outward nature struggles, the body and our lives decline. But knowing that inwardly we have the ability to sense and know God, even in the darkest moment, is a faith thing. Paul puts things into perspective when he speaks of the eternal weight of glory. The Hebrew word for glory also means heavy or weighted and weighty. Someone else with better words than me says this. He says, glory has power behind it. Oomph. It is heavy enough to create its own gravity well. As the planets orbit the sun, because the sun's weight and mass bend space around it, so also the weight of glory gets into your core being. Everything else in your life orbits around it. Everything gets focused on that glory, he says, and that glory's own heft, nuances, qualities help you and I to see even the hard things and harder things in our lives in a new light. And I wish that were so for all of us, especially in those times of suffering. So, do we have to just accept Paul's words of light, slight, momentary affliction and give nod to it, producing in us an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure? Do we just glibly say, yeah, it must be right, even if it doesn't feel right because it's scripture? I would actually say no. Again, it's about making the word of God living in us, to wrestle with it, to grapple with it, to contend with the word of God and find out what it really is asking us in all that we face. We need to wrestle with the truth of what is temporary and what is eternal within our own context, our own situation, our own very being. Grapple and groan with the experiences of life and find out faith's truth in your own life. Praise God. Thank you.